Did you pick that up as we were reading that? It was the Spirit of God who did this for Jesus. And that means something for us. But I'm thinking that it's not what you're thinking it might be. In fact, if you were to think of your life as a, what would we call it? A preview, a movie trailer. You know, you've probably seen those. In fact, you can get an app which is only movie trailers, and you can watch those. The purpose of a movie trailer or a preview is to make you want to go see the whole movie. That would be a Christian life. They see you, and they want the whole thing. Yeah, they see what it is for somebody to follow Jesus and to be like him. And that makes people thirsty for all of the kingdom of God. That's the way it would be with us. Now, the question comes up, well, exactly how does that work? And the crucial ingredient, the secret sauce, the absolutely necessary thing for that is discipleship. And for you to be living a life of discipleship is what makes you to be a preview, which makes people want to have the whole thing when they see what kind of life you are living. And that life of discipleship, of course, is something that we do not only individually, but it also is something that we do together. And it's not just you deciding, well, let's see, I'm going to do this, this, and this to follow Jesus. No, I don't want you to not think that way. However, the life of discipleship is Jesus telling you what you will be doing to become like him. And part of that is how we do that together. And we weave our lives together in such a way that we become more and more like Jesus. And our fellowship, St. Francis Episcopal Church, begins to show something. We become a fuller preview, if you will. That movie trailer lasts a little longer, something where we begin to step into God's purpose for every local congregation, generally speaking. There's a general purpose, and then there's a specific portion of that for each congregation. The general purpose for each congregation, each fellowship, is to become a foretaste of what God desires for all of humanity. For people, even at a drive-by, to look at St. Francis, they'd be saying, they would catch a taste of what God desires for all of humanity, all throughout history. God's purpose for that. And that's the general way of how we think of a church. And that's what God desires. And the way to get to that, as you could guess I'm going to say, is discipleship. Intentionally aligning your life and forming and shaping it with others so that you are walking in the way of Jesus, doing what Jesus does. The character of Jesus as well as the competencies of Jesus are reproduced within your life, and we do that together. A fellowship in which people are doing that, and that's the culture, is a fellowship which brings the foretaste of what God desires for all of humanity. Okay, now keep thinking about that, because that has something to do with being led into the wilderness. And keep in mind that being led into the wilderness is actually a design of God upon your life. You remember that we were saying that just because things get tough from time to time, it doesn't mean that God is now separating himself from you. It doesn't mean anything like that at all. In fact, if you are following Jesus, you will be following the direction of God into the wilderness, most likely to be tempted by Satan. Although you've probably discovered you don't have to go into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. That can just come, you know, you can even be looking for that, you know. But nonetheless, there will be times when your intention is to follow Jesus and walk with him step by step. And what happens is you go into the desert. You go into a wilderness. And that's a tough place, as you know. And I've mentioned to you before, just moving recently from Phoenix, which was surrounded by desert. It says Jesus was there for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. I wouldn't want to spend 40 minutes in the desert, especially, you know, the kind that he was in. Just brutal. But nonetheless, it was God's plan for him to go there. Is everybody all right with this so far? That it's God's plan for that? I know you're saying yes, but okay, you get to have that test in your life as time goes on. There is a purpose of that. And the purpose of going into the wilderness is to expand your soul so that you can receive the promise that God has for you. That's what you see with Israel. Israel went into the wilderness for 40 years so that as a nation, they could be prepared to go into the promised land. It took that wilderness experience to prepare the nation to go into the promised land, what God had prepared for them. The same will be true for us, that we will go into a wilderness time to be prepared for the promise that God has for your life. It will also be true for the fellowship, where we will be in a wilderness time, sometimes called transition, so that the promise that God has for this fellowship, it can actually be realized. Without that wilderness, then our collective soul would not be expanded to the point where we could receive that promise and walk in it. That's the purpose of that. That's why we see Jesus going in there. We see Jesus standing up to temptation by the word and many different things we see in Jesus that you've probably heard over the years. What is important for us at this moment and today is that we actually see the purpose of every wilderness in our lives so that we can go into what God has prepared. Okay, now keep thinking about that too. Because what God has prepared is something that he's already spoken. And what he's already spoken, he's spoken repeatedly through your life. And if you were to ask God to show you, what are the promises that you've had for me? What are the purposes you've desired for my life? And you begin looking back over the years of your life, you'll begin to see a thread of God's promise from your earliest days, from the earliest time you can remember, right up through to the present, and that will go on into the future. And every season of wilderness will be a season that prepares you for the next step or the next stage of that promise. And that's what we sang this morning when we sang, "When I Needed a Savior." You were there. You were there. When I needed a healer, you were there. When I needed my father, when I needed someone to call me by name, you were there. There are times when that's happened all through our lives. Seeing that thread is what makes you able to move ahead with Jesus, move in that life of discipleship, to take intentional steps of being like him. Because you've begun to see what he's already done in you and through you. Okay, everybody all right with so far? Because I'm throwing an awful lot at you this morning. Usually, especially our culture, tells us that we need to avoid the wilderness. We need to be comfortable. Many of our structures are set up so that, I'll see if I like this or not. And if I don't, then I'll go find another one. And that is as prevalent in the church as it is anywhere else. When Jesus is saying, follow me. Okay. You start following Jesus. You think, okay, I'm in the wilderness. Okay, that's fine. My soul is expanding. I don't like it, but that's all right. The promise is there. I'm beginning to see the thread of God's great promises in my life and his mercy from my earliest days right up to today, right through into the future, I'm beginning to see all that. How do I know how to keep on it? How do I know to keep on that point? How do I live that way? And what I want to point out to you this morning is that there is something in the way you were created, but at the hand of Jesus, at your creation, that you keep coming back to. You keep circling back to it all the time. And as you circle back to it and begin functioning, if you will, living out of that, you begin moving into the promises more completely. Sometimes the wilderness more completely to get to the promise, but that's what happens. And you have been created with a set of motivations, giftings, if you will, whatever you like to call them, of which there's one of five that you have. And every person has them. You don't have to be a Christian. Everybody has them. They're created this way. And for us, we tend to call them by a certain set of names that we see in the scripture. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Each one of you is created with one of that set of giftings. You may be created with an apostolic center. And I'm going to look at that just for a minute today because how completely it relates to the wilderness. You may have been created with a prophetic center or an evangelistic center or a pastoral center or a teaching center. You do not have to be ordained to have that because you have it from your creation before you even heard a seminary. There's that's going on within you. And we're going to look at these all through Lent for the next few weeks. And as we begin describing them, you'll probably begin to see who among us is apostolic and who among us is prophetic and who among us is evangelistic and so forth and who among us is pastoral and who among us has a teaching gift. And we'll begin to see how that works, weaves together. As that weaves together, and we see it more completely, and we step into it more deeply, what happens is that our fellowship becomes more of a foretaste of what God intends for all of creation, for every person who ever lived. Now, I know this is more than a three-point sermon, but hey, I'm having a great time. So what about the apostolic? What about that? And why do we see that today? The Spirit of God leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. What happens after that? Jesus is then released into the ministry he came to earth for. Something new happens. If you have an apostolic gifting, or you know someone who does, they are always getting into new things. And these people are probably not finishing those things either. But that's one of the things that marks them. That's why the gospel goes to new people. That's why groups, even in this community, who have never engaged at all with anything about the Christian faith, will be touched by people with an apostolic gifting because they break open those doors and move into those new areas. Or there may be new ministries of certain kinds here among us, and it will take apostolic people to break into those new ministries. It's a necessary thing for the church to keep going. It's a little different from evangelistic in that an evangelistic person will keep gathering people. You know, they'll have the block parties at their house, things like that. The apostolic person is going to open up the new area. Now, within an established fellowship like St. Francis, the way the apostolic will operate is in several areas, and one of them is this. The dreams that God has placed in your heart, the purpose for your life, the things that you see that come from the Spirit of God will be released and become operative because the apostolic people are functioning. something new will flow. There will be a culture, this is the second area, a culture of discipleship that deepens and becomes richer and richer and richer because that makes that's the place, the platform for the dreams to be released. Now, one of the reasons this is difficult to catch, and while it brings us into a wilderness when we're open to that, is that most of the church today is pastoral. And every so often you get some teaching thrown in there too. And when it's centered around a pastoral gifting, I don't mean a person ordained as a pastor, but a pastoral gifting, when it's centered around that, then there's not that much room for the apostolic and the prophetic and so forth to be functioning. So it can be very difficult for those things to happen and to occur. You can begin to feel in a pastoral-only situation that is not well developed, that there is an organizational chart and it must be filled for the goals of this congregation to be reached. That is a pastoral-centered, narrow way of looking at things for the church. You know, for other groups, it's great. But for us, when we have a goal and a strategy with an organizational chart where the responsibilities must be filled in with people's names, what will happen is many of the dreams that God has planted in your soul will never, ever be released, at least not in that group. Now, that's not morally wrong. It does mean that the foretaste of what God desires the entire creation to experience will not be seen in that fellowship. Okay, just think about that. Just let that roll around a little bit. Because there is a very specific way, I believe, St. Francis, as a congregation, can move into the apostolic. Because I'm not really suggesting that we abandon everything that we've thought of and the way we've gone and forget about it and now turn around and do something different. Not at all. There's something that we build on. Because the Spirit of God has formed St. Francis in a very rich way. And there is, in fact, a generosity as well as a hospitality upon this fellowship, which as we walk into that generosity and hospitality and ask the Spirit of God to open it up and release us more deeply into it, an apostolic stream will be released. And that apostolic stream that is released will bring what we have and what we experience and what we know and cherish together to people who have never experienced it before or perhaps need to experience it again. Who would these people be? These would be the people like many of you who are outside of the orbit of the church and regular worship for years. And when you heard the voice of Jesus once again, you heard it here. And when you said yes to him again, you said yes to him again here with this fellowship. That's not all of us, but it's a good number of us. There are people living right around here. In fact, when there's no leaves on the trees like right now, you can see their houses, who have not been to the Lord's table for 15 or 20 or more years. But there was a day when there was. And God has never let them go. And some of you carry a dream of restoration. And the dream of restoration is very apostolic. And there will be people that you or us together in some way may be able to touch, and they once again hear the voice of the Father calling them to the table. Calling them even by name. That will open up the gospel in a new way to a group of people who perhaps felt they let it go a long time ago or didn't quite catch it the first time around and something happened and now they stepped out. That is something that can very powerfully happen among us. Now, there's other things which would happen as well, which would be a little more removed from that, but still connected to us. But that is one thing that would be an apostolic dream that could be fulfilled among us. How would that work? Well, let me give you an example from my own life. As you know, in Arizona, I played in a band, and it was just three of us, and we would get together, and we played mostly these 60s songs. And one of the main reasons we did it was because we were able to reinterpret our youth by doing that. Very powerful dynamic. That's why we kept showing up at rehearsal and playing around with songs, because we remembered those songs from before. But when we did them again, there was something else that happened within us. Something was restored within us when we did that. And to a certain degree, it was a sense or a dream or something that was unfulfilled at that time, which, when we did it again, was fulfilled. For some people who have been in church when they were young and then maybe stepped out, there was something that touched them of the Spirit of God there that was unfulfilled. They never quite got out of the wilderness into the promise that God had prepared for them. And that promise stayed there just hibernating or something until now. And now, all these years later, they can come back in, be re-embraced by the Spirit of God, see that dream once again, feel the stirring of that promise once again that was unattainable for whatever reason those years ago, and today be fulfilled, as some of you have experienced. That, I think, would be the major apostolic thrust from St. Francis. And at the same time, there would be other apostolic thrusts, if you will, that reach into other groups that were never, ever in church for generations. Reminds me of one person. I wasn't going to share this, but hey, you're here, so I'm going to. One of my church plants in Phoenix, somebody showed up and said, you know, we have a new rector at my church. I'm tired of that guy. I didn't like him at all, so I'm coming here. Took her about 5 months. She didn't like me either, but that's, you know. When she came that first Sunday, she said, you know what happened? This young guy, his family is Mexican. They've been here for four or five generations. His grandmother was the last one in church, so he's three generations out from being in church. And somehow he found us, and he walked some distance. I don't know if it was all that far, but it could have been maybe 2 miles or something. Walked to our church, came up. We'd never seen him. He'd never seen us. And he asked the priest if he could be baptized. Where'd this guy come from? Who told him what baptism is? There's only one thing I could think of that happened, and that is his grandmother kept praying for him. What did that guy need? He needed to connect with an apostolic ministry who would open the gospel to this new person for the first time. That could happen among us also. I've heard of churches that take mission trips and they go to the same place every year and they have a great time. And one of the complaints is there are a few people who the only thing they do with our church is they go on these mission trips. They don't show up at Christmas. They don't show up at Easter. They don't do anything but that. To which I said, you know, maybe the gifting in which your church is structured is pastoral and these guys are apostolic. That was the end of the conversation, so we couldn't unpack it anymore. But that happens when we have all five giftings recognized, embraced, woven together. We become the foretaste of what God desires for all of humanity. That's where we were going. We don't know how to get there, so sometimes the Spirit of God has to drag us along into it. But that's what we're called to. And we have that specific way of restoration of people for us to begin doing that. We'll spend the rest of Lent looking at how that works. We'll look at the prophetic next week. Some very powerful examples of this that come up in the gospel readings. All throughout Lent for each one of those giftings, and that's what we'll do. If for some reason you just can't be here, remember that's always on the website, and you can always go back and check it. Although we'd love to see you every single week, but it's on the website. All right, let's stand and ask God to be upon us and then send us apostolically as He would choose. Lord, we thank You that You led Jesus to the wilderness, and so we follow Him. We ask that today You would speak to us deeply concerning the promise You have for our lives as well as our life together, so that we may walk in the path that You have ordained for us to walk in and bear fruit that gives glory to Your name. Amen.